Welcome, everyone, into the B-Section podcast brought to you by The Morning Times and The Daily Review. I'm Kirk Lovison, joined as always by David Goff and Logan Hill. And of course, this episode and every other episode you can find wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast, that's where you can find us. Today, we're going to get into some recaps of last week's high school football action. We'll talk rivalry week in high school football action around our area. And of course, some national stuff. The World Series is tonight. We also got the NBA has started, and then we'll get into some NFL stuff too. But before we do any of that, Logan, talk to us about our presenting sponsor.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. The Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly, open 7 days a week. Last week when we taped, I was talking about needing that hot cup of coffee, trying to warm myself up. The weather has suddenly changed this week, so I might need an iced option this week, but They have it all for you.
It's a little cooler now. I think the warmth is over.
I'm going to come at you from a different perspective. As we've gotten later into this season, as some other work piles up, sometimes it doesn't matter if it's morning, afternoon, or evening. Right now, a good cup of coffee sounds pretty important, and considering the work we do, and we got plenty of it to talk about what you guys did last weekend and what you'll have coming up. It's rivalry week, but let's first talk about this past weekend. David, Waverly over Tioga. We thought of this one as a really big matchup on the schedule, just given the way last year went and where both these two always find themselves in the rankings. Little one-sided this season, however. Waverly gets it done 50-6 over the Tigers.
Yeah, it was eye-opening last week when I was talking to both of the head coaches ahead of my previous story, just to get quotes from them, where Nick Aiello, the Tioga head coach of three straight state championships, called this one a David versus Goliath situation. And when he's saying they're the David, that's an eye-opener. And it really just played out that way. Waverly, the 50-6 final score, Ben Shaw hasn't had an incompletion since the main animal game 4 weeks ago.
He's incredible.
20 for 20, 431 yards, 7 touchdowns in the last 3 games.
Wow.
Colson Keithley and Xavier Watson are fun receivers to throw to, I bet. And then Fletcher Good had his best running game of the season. He had 150 yards on 10 carries. So, and they were quick strikes the entire night, really, for Waverly.
Big score, kind of a weird time of possession and number of plays game, right?
Yes.
You had the numbers,
so
I think you're telling me.
Yeah, so I believe, and maybe I miscounted or whatever, but generally it was 56 offensive plays all night for Tioga, 28 in the first half for Tioga. Waverly had 25 offensive plays the entire night.
Yeah, 28 plays in the first half for the Tigers, and they lose 50-6 on 25 total for Waverly. That is a wild stat.
And you feel for Tioga at this point in the season because their injuries are
the injury bugs.
The running backs are up. So like Shea Bailey, he hasn't really been a major part of the run game throughout the season, but you could tell that the first three snaps of the day were to Shea Bailey. Goes 18 yards on those two carries, gets hurt. He might be done for the season.
Yeah.
It was a really tough situation to look at. But Tioga still moved the ball. Like, again, they had 56 plays. They ran for 250 some yards. Connor Streeter and Gage Hopkins, who are like their fifth and sixth running backs of the season, both ran for at least 70 yards in the game. So they were moving the ball. The problem is they had 4 turnovers. One was an interception at the 5-yard line. And then in the second half, they had 3 straight offensive snaps that turned the ball right back over to Waverly. So it was just
Of course, you can't do that with an electric offense like Waverly. You got to limit those opportunities.
So it was probably a blowout win for Waverly. Wasn't all that unexpected from a lot of people, I would say. But nothing went Tioga's way that night.
Well, and of course, Waverly cruises. And again, a big shout out and some positive vibes sent towards Shea Bailey after a tough, obvious injury.
Yeah.
We hope the best for him. Fantastic athlete with plenty ahead in his future. We hope he gets better and better quick. Muncie, let's go across the border. Staying in the Valley, though, Muncie beats Athens 63-26 and Canton down Sayre 55-13. Much on those games to take away, guys?
Not really, other than the stats I saw from Muncie were ridiculous. They can Talk about a quick strike offense. That was a quick strike offense against Athens.
They have a couple of really dynamic running backs. They also can stretch it out and have a passing game if they need to have a passing game. They have not lost since their opener, so that makes, what, 8 straight wins?
And they're winning every game by 40.
They've kind of surged to the top of Class A. So
I'm just realizing now you are completely barefaced.
Yeah.
Are you preparing for No Shave November, or are you just boycotting it?
So the problem we ran into, so I run into this problem a lot where I'll grow my beard for a while, and I'll let it get long, and it'll get thick, and then I'll shave it off. Typically, that's what I'll do. As you can see, that's what happened. The other day, I decided we're going to try to just trim it, and I had these guards for my trimmer, and the only one, I guess I took the other two home one time when I went home. The only one I had was the one. I said, whatever, we'll give it a shot. And I did it on my cheek, and pretty much all the hair came off, so it was going to look like I had a pencil.
You had to take care of the rest.
So I had to take care of the rest. Yeah, and I while I enjoy my beard, I feel like it looks a little bit more professional.
All right.
To maybe not have such a lengthy beard. It is cold, though. It's been warm this week.
I was going
to
say, we're getting into the...
So maybe I'll give it another run through in November and see how long it can really get. But I was also going to get a haircut. Ran out of time in the day yesterday to go get that done. So I figured shaved face. You can't show up with a shaved face and a fresh haircut that you look like a new spring chicken, because that's too drastic.
Back to Muncie over Athens. Despite the 63-26 loss, big day through the air for Connor Davidson, correct?
Yeah, so there seem to be some stat mishaps. However, it seems like Connor Davidson, I was talking to Sean Bradley ahead of the Sarah game this week, and I asked him to confirm if it was 345 yards. He said he doesn't believe so. It was more like 260. That's still a pretty good day.
That's the updated number I got. 260. Yeah, sorry. He just had never touched base about it. But in a game like that, you're going to have to go to the air. Yeah. So.
And I mean, Athens is going to make their way into the playoffs, it looks like. So just to get more of a passing game going with the explosive legs that Connor Davidson has, that's, you want to see more of a dual kind of thing.
Sort of a random aside, just real quick before we move on to the next game.
But as if the beard thing wasn't a random aside.
Whatever. I didn't ask the question.
No, you're right.
I enjoy Athens' passing game in the fact that there's a lot of guys that can end up catching the football. And other teams have that. Tawanda has that.
They spread it around good,
to some extent when they're healthy. Troy, even. But it feels like you could get done with an Athens game and 6 different guys could have caught a football. I mean, and that might not even count the guys that ran it. So
Sean Peters, Connor Garrison, and Gage Marmer are the 3 guys that come to mind with that.
Remind me again.
You didn't even mention Keegan Gungo. Exactly. So.
Remind me again, Connor Davidson, what class is he?
Sophomore.
260 yards through the air as a sophomore.
So, I mean,
You'll take that.
I guess we'll preview the games coming up, but for Athens' sake, they have a chance to potentially finish in third place in the NTL large school division. They were 6th place last year. That's a young team, a young quarterback, and they improved.
Progression. Canton, they take care of the Redskins. 55-13 Canton over Sayre.
That one was 34-0 at halftime, and it got interesting down the... Not interesting, but Sarah got on the board down the stretch, I should say. Really just Canton's continuing to get healthy. They're looking towards the postseason. It was their last home game of the regular season, so they really just took care of business and kind of put it away before Sarah could figure something out.
And to Sarah's credit, like you said, in that second half, Sarah, regardless, there's still no quit in this team.
No,
you got to play the 4 quarters.
They then... Like you said, they do that. Yep. They come out
they
and play
full,
every week. It doesn't
quarters.
Matter. They figure out a way to keep going and normally get multiple scoring drives after halftime if they haven't done so in the first half. So that's a glimmer of hope, I guess you would say.
Let's get up to 20. Hughesville over Wyalusing, 24-7.
That's taking you out down 6.
That's
I'm going down 6, Route 6. I'm taking 220.
And hopping over.
Yeah, going across down to Wyalusing Valley. That was a...
Maybe Shashiquin up instead of 220, then hop over?
That's David's way. I came Shashiquin to get up here today.
I almost ran into a deer after the Athens-Wyalusing game. I was within inches of hitting that deer.
It's that time.
Thankful I was able to stop.
Watch out for the rut. Hughesville over Wyalusing, 24-7.
24-7, that game was a little bit closer than the final score indicates. Hughesville returned a fumble for a touchdown in the closing moments, but they still controlled. They went down, first couple of drives, they scored on a 4th-and-long play with a passing touchdown to take a 7-0 lead. I'm sorry, it was a 10-0 lead because they kicked a 42-yard field goal for their first points of the night. That'll make your jaw drop a little bit watching high school football. You don't see that too much. And then Wyalusing, right before at the halftime buzzer, gets a touchdown to make it a 10-7 game. They get the ball coming out of the locker room. Go down the field with their tried-and-true run game, come up short on a 4th down. Hughesville scores another touchdown from there, and it was kind of just That's what I ended up kind of writing my story about from that game, because that was the game I covered last week, is Wyalusing's plan, the we're going to take the clock, we're going to take the ball, we're going to run for 2 yards, we're going to run for 3 yards, 4 yards, and we're just going to go down the field like that. When it ends in points, it works great. It's a great plan. You leave your opponent with no time to do anything. When you come up short on fourth down inside their 15, you just lost yourself 8 minutes that you would have really liked to have back in a game that's potentially going to go the other way. So that's all that happened. Major stats from that one. It was the same old formula for Wyalusing again this year, as I actually pull up the wrong box score to tell you about that one. But I believe Aiden Hunsinger had 42 carries in that game.
Wow.
A lower outputage of a night in terms of yardage. I think it was something like 181.
But a heavy load carry-wise.
He is the primary running back for that offense. And then Ethan Vanderpool takes a lot of the fullback carries. They mix in Reuben Kinney, and then Jonathan Earl at the quarterback position does some running of his own. I'm going to pull that up just to confirm real quick. But it was almost a playoff atmosphere of a game, just because these were two teams that came into the week 4-4 in District 4. They were 4-4 in Class 2A. Wyalusing was ninth. I think Hughesville might have been seventh, right? Or Hughesville might have been behind Wyalusing. The way it shook out is that game had a lot of meaning, maybe not for the NTL, but for the district postseason, which is just a week away. So now, and we'll get into it, but yeah. Wyalusing's kind of in a make-or-break situation if they're going to extend their season because of this loss. But 43 carries, 159 yards. The rest of the offense had 16 carries between them, and 18 yards rushing with a touchdown. So that's the offense for Wyalusing, yeah. And they want to play good, strong defense. And they had a couple of interceptions early, and that really kept them in the game to start. So
they're going to get their rival Towanda tonight. Towanda on a roll, taking care of business lately. They go down, beat Tunkhannock 28-3. All cylinders are firing as they welcome in Wyalusing this week. What'd you get from that game? What do you think?
You said all cylinders are firing, and the score would lead you to believe that this game was 7-3 going into the fourth quarter. Towanda managed to score 21 points in the fourth quarter to pull away for good.
So. More credit to Tunkhannock for that, or Towanda didn't bring the best version of Towanda?
From talking to a reporter that covered that game, I just got a box score sent my way because we couldn't get to Tunkhannock and back and write up and put the paper out that night. But he said Towanda lost 5 fumbles in the game, so really just kind of a shooting yourself in the foot.
Sloppy football.
Then they were able to figure it out and get 3 touchdowns to put the game out of reach. So
But
they have looked good. They have 2 losses this season to a Hughesville team in week 2 when they didn't have Riley Vanderpool, their senior quarterback leader, senior safety leader on the back end of the defense. And then they lost to Troy, who's the league favorite, the district favorite.
It's also a good sign when you come out of that game maybe feeling with a bitter taste, but you still win by 25 points.
Yep, absolutely.
Speaking of Troy, easy ho-hum 62-10 over Central Mountain. We didn't know much about Central Mountain going into last week. Doesn't sound like we found out too much about them, as Troy make sure to take easy care of that.
No, that one was interesting to me because...
Really?
8-0 versus... Well, not going into the game, it was interesting to me because it was 8-0 versus 0-8. And I know it's not college football. I know it's not even NFL football. I know it's high school football where these things might not happen as often. But that has trap game written all over it. But Troy just didn't let that happen. They
looking ahead to rival Canton, playing a team that hasn't picked up a win. I can see it.
They scored 28 points in the first quarter, and that game was over with. So,
to your point, though, that's a sign of a real deal good disciplined football team. Mm-hmm. To go down and just, hey, forget whether they've won it or not. Let's take care of business and show exactly what Trojan 3 football is.
3 of their first quarter scoring plays were over 30 yards. One was a 70-yard punt return. One was a 30-yard run, and one was a 48-yard pass. So they just really, they're getting it in big play. And the first touchdown of the game was a 12-yard touchdown run. So they can do it by grinding it out. They can do it by going through the air. They can do it on special teams. Really just, there's nothing we can say about this Troy team that we haven't said already and that they didn't confirm by playing Central Mountain. The understanding I came to of why they had this game on the schedule at all is Central Mountain's a bigger school. I think they might be 4A. So Troy wants to get that on the resume, so to speak.
All right, that's it for the recap. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. It's rivalry week on the Pennsylvania side of things. We got the Rusty Rail to start off, Sayre at Athens. We've talked a little bit about the struggles Sayre's faced this season, but having that no-quit attitude. Mm-hmm. Whereas you said, David, Athens, there's something to play for here. There's some stuff on the table that can be accomplished. What are you guys feeling competitive? What are you thinking going into the Rusty Rail this year? Anything can happen? Or is this is an Athens year?
The game is in Athens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything can happen.
Yep.
But you were mentioning about Sayre has no quit in them, and I everything about the season leads you to believe Athens should win this game handily, and I'm not going to go against that. But I was, before I, for my Sayre Athens previous story this week, I was talking to Rookie Lindblad after his one practice, and they said...
On stands now.
Yes, yes. Rookie was just talking about how the senior class has been through so much and how they've been able to keep this program afloat after not being able to have a varsity team 2 years ago. Yes, they've only won two games since then, but they went out and had played to the best of their ability, had fun with it, and now they have one more game left where, like, this is for Nick Pelicano and Jameer Cole and those other seniors, the six other seniors on that team, they probably won't be playing college football. So... this is the last chance to get out there, and that's when weird things could happen. Yep. So,
the other caveat I was going to offer is, like David said, I think the scales tip in Athens' favor. If the Wildcats beat themselves early, Sayre might be able to get it to snowball. See, that would be the path to Sayre victory.
That is the one thing that Athens would like to kind of wipe away from what happened this year. There was a couple games in there where they really just had some crucial mistakes, and like, man, we shouldn't have done that. Otherwise, they could have come out with a win. So. They've had some moments of just like, ugh.
The final thought I'll offer is, like David said, Athens is looking at a postseason spot, and they would probably like to go into that potential game rolling, feeling well. So you would hope that if you're an Athens faithful, that they can come out and just kind of take care of business. And then, like you said, with Coach Lindblad, Sayre has nothing to lose, and it's their seniors' last game. So
a lot of motivation.
It lines up to be kind of interesting when you look at it.
The old shoe game is in Troy this year. Canton at Troy. Troy has been dominant. Everyone's wondering if this is the year. All they've done is build off of last season. It's still Canton. And this rivalry is weird. It was weird last season. Was it last season or was it two seasons ago where everyone thought the game was going to be out of hand and you looked up in the fourth quarter and was like, oh, wait a minute. Pretty sure it was like two seasons
ago. It would have had to have been two seasons ago because last season I believe it was 58-0.
I think it was two seasons ago and Canton was in the position Troy's in now, which is why I say, who knows, right?
You do like to throw out the record books.
Yeah, all
this,
signs.
This though, Troy team is not real. Like other NTL teams. And they're human. Like something weird could happen the same way we kind of lined up Sayre and Athens. I mean, teams in different spots in the record standings, but Canton's in kind of the same boat where they're on the back end of the playoff field in Class A, whereas Athens in Class 4A, but they're going to be looking to maintain their health and maybe come away with the upset victory, but it feels like it has the makings of a culmination night for Troy. Step one of culmination, because they won the NTL last year. It looks like they're primed to do that again this year, and then while none of them will tell you this, the real season kind of gets rolling for them once the district playoffs get started. Really, maybe a couple weeks in, as long as they don't have a fluky game. But I try not to talk in such extremes, but this team has given you no reason not to think that so far at this point. I mean, the closest game they had was against a team that doesn't even play in this state.
Well, last year they lost that district championship, 14-0? And I'm sure they've been thinking about that game every single day for the last year. That's where they want to go.
It's their last home game. They haven't had a home game in a couple of weeks, it feels like. So they had a really weird schedule where they opened the season at home, went to Dover. I think I talked about this last week on the pod. Went to Dover and then had like three straight home games, but then had four games on the road. And now they're finally home again to close out the regular season.
Yeah, and it was, just looking up some stuff there, it was two seasons ago where Canton ends up only winning 28-14, despite being considered in some ways as dominant as Troy's been in the last 2 years. But
yeah, I just missed the Canton state runs where they went to back-to-back seasons with state playoff games. Yep. Just missed that.
And now their rivalry is looking to do the same thing, or their rival. While losing at Towanda, I would say 4 weeks ago I was sitting here maybe earlier talking about this is the game I'm waiting for. This is the one that looks like it could be the closest and most competitive.
You might have said that 2 weeks ago.
Since then, the last 2 weeks, Towanda looking like I said earlier, all cylinders firing. While losing struggling a little bit coming in. If Wyalusing's defense holds up and they can control the clock with that run game you've been talking about, all of a sudden that score shrinks, and who knows what happens when we get into the fourth quarter.
I think of the three rivalry matchups, this is the game. If you're a neutral fan, if you just love football, if you live in Bradford County, this is the game I think you should try to make your way to. And I could be wrong, because last year I would have said that about the Old Shoe, and that was a culmination night for Troy, but it was a snoozer if you're a neutral fan.
Right.
It was 58-0, and it was never really that close. But this game has the most on the line postseason-wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because in Athens and Sarah's case, Sarah's not playing for a postseason spot. They're playing to end their season on a strong note. Canton's kind of locked into that fourth spot in Class A, whereas Troy really... I mean, Troy could fall if they were to lose to Canton, but that's not the way this Troy team has looked at. I can't say it enough, but Towanda's sitting at the 2 seed in Class 2A. Wyalusing's currently 9. So Wyalusing, to jump to 8, probably needs a win.
It's a W.
Because they're 4-5. South Williamsport at 8 is 4-5. South Williamsport has the tiebreaker over, and I don't think that's how the brackets get decided officially, but South has a head-to-head win over Wyalusing. Bloomsburg is 4-5, and then you have Hughesville at 5-4. So let's say Wyalusing wins. They're 5-5 to finish the year. They might sneak into the playoff field. They might get Troy first round of the district playoffs. That we'll get there. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. That could knock Towanda out of the 2nd seed. So not only do you punch your ticket to the postseason, you take away potential home field advantage from your most bitter rival. So I think this game could end up being very, very interesting. I think when it's all said and done, Riley Vanderpool is going to probably have a shot at NTL Player of the Year again.
Okay.
I was trying to see how I wanted to line that up. A strong case for it. I mean, he's just been picked up pretty much right where he left off last season as a quarterback, both as a rusher and a passer. So I think he's going to have a good case if somebody from Troy doesn't win it. And it's if you're Wyalusing, it's how do we make somebody else beat us, right?
We get in,
so,
too.
And how do we get in? So I think it's going to be Wyalusing pulled out a trick to try to beat Troy earlier this year with the onside kick to open the game. They got to have a couple more. They had another trick when they went with the backwards pass, touchdown play against Canton. What else do you have in there to try to go to? Because your offense can put people to sleep, but that sets you up perfectly to try and kind of do something nobody would expect. That's my takes on rivalry week.
That's rivalry week.
It's hard. It's a tough one. A tongue twister.
That's like we talking to these mics every week or something. Get out and check those out. A lot of good games, a lot of history. New York side, Waverly's on the road this week.
At Lansing.
Lansing. This should be cruise control. Waverly, they're a good discipline team, much like we talked about Troy. They're going to take care of business. They'll be focused. But the goal now, it's almost postseason time. We're getting close for the Wolverines to start to really play some competitive football.
Every time we talk about Troy, I'm thinking that's Waverly, New York.
I wish we could see those teams play one another.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be awesome.
What week are they at in New York? Is it week 7? They started 2 weeks behind, so week 8?
They have one more week after.
One more regular season week after this?
Their regular season is also 1 week shorter.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Got it. And then Deposit comes to Tioga. Deposit, top 5 ranked in Class D. They are undefeated. They are coming off, David, I think you and I talked about, is it back-to-back seasons of winless football?
So they won 2 games last year. They won 0 games 2 years before, or 2 years ago.
And now they're sitting at 8-0.
7-0
and coming to the Tigers.
Yeah, and it's I don't know the actual date, but it's the first time in a very long time where Tioga is playing a team that's ranked higher than they are.
Not much common opponents this year.
No, there really isn't. Because I mean they're in the same division, but they don't start the division until like week 6 or 7, whatever it is.
One benefit I think the Tigers have for them coming into this game is games against a lot of stiff competition. Mm-hmm. They might not be undefeated coming in like Deposit, but the Maryvales of the state, the Windsors of the state, Shenango Forks, Waverly, they've played some real stiff competition to get prepared for games like this.
Before you guys keep going, Tioga plays in Class D for postseason play, correct?
Yes.
Correct. So even if they come out of this regular season, as long as they come out healthy enough to keep playing the football they want to play, these games should set them up for a chance at a sectional title.
They're absolutely going to be in the running for it. So like I was about to say, they're 4-3. 2 of their losses are to the top 3 teams in the Class C,
yes.
Forks and Waverly. And the other loss was to a Class D Delhi team that is very well could be the section championship game. Yeah.
And this deposit game would be a big engine starter.
If Tioga pulls this off, especially with the health issues that they're having, if they can pull this off, they're in good shape. Right now in the state rankings, Deposit Hancock is number 5 in the state, and Tioga is number 14. So it would, technically speaking, be an upset for Tioga if they get it done.
Yeah, get some momentum and get healthy, and all of a sudden that postseason looks a lot different than maybe things have gone in the regular season for the Tigers. That's it for local high school. Again, it's rivalry week. Get out there. Logan's got a couple more things before we move on. Go ahead.
I was just going to update the rest of the playoff field across other sports.
Yeah,
just very quickly. Troy girls soccer won their district quarterfinal game. They're going to play on Monday. Wyalusing girls soccer won their preliminary district game, so they're going to play on Saturday. They won 8-0 over Meadowbrook Christian. Troy won 4-0 over Williamson. That game was at Towanda. The PIAA golf championships wrapped up. 5 golfers from the NTL were in it. I don't think anybody had too major of a finish, so we won't shout them out here. And then I'm trying to think. And then district track was today, but that's going to have to be a
cross country.
District cross country was today. I should know, I was there. That's going to have to be a paper only content because there was a lot of results. In my mind, it seemed like a really good showing for the NTL today.
Yeah, so get out and get a copy of the Times or the Review for that coverage.
And then was there any Valley playoff stuff that started that I missed?
On the same track as Troy girls soccer and all that, Athens boys soccer and Athens girls soccer are both playing at Loyal Sock.
Yep.
Loyal Sock High School on Saturday in a doubleheader for district semifinal games. They're both playing Shikellamy. I've never said the word out loud. I heard it. Shikellamy.
Some tough ones. There are some tough ones.
Yeah, but you're from Pennsylvania.
I'm not from this part of the state. I've never heard of the school until like a week.
I wish Shishiquin Road had a school so we could get Shishiquin versus Shikellamy.
But anyway, the Athens boys team playing Shikellamy is the number 2 seed against the number 3 seed. The girls are the 4 seed playing the number 1 seed. We'll see how that goes. Maybe they'll both be able to punch their tickets to the district championship.
A lot of good postseason action.
And then on the New York side of girls soccer, Waverly girls, they beat Spencer Van Etten 4-1 in their first round game. They're playing their section semifinal at Memorial Stadium on Friday at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Really brutal timing for me with football coming at the same time.
Yeah, that's interesting scheduling.
So I'm not a fan of the time of the game, but hey.
Sorry, I was still thinking about Shikellamy.
Yeah.
And then who's playing? Waverly's playing.
Waverly football is on the road, and then at around the same time, the soccer's at home.
Schedule makers don't consult sports writers before they get
both games are conflicting. So Waverly is actually the number 1 seed in that bracket. So if they win tonight, Friday, they'll punch a ticket to the section championship in Oneonta next Saturday. And then
it's not rival week in New York, but quietly Waverly and Lansing are developing a little bit of a competitive thing across the board in sports, whether it's basketball or
the section semifinal in baseball, crazy.
Soccer. There's something there that. Yeah. So.
And then the last thing soccer wise is the Tioga girls had their season come to an end in their first round game against Unadilla Valley. They lost 2-1. They were down 2-0 after the first half and couldn't quite make the
another
comeback.
Tough injury play.
Yeah,
team.
Tioga's been having a tough season because Sophia Haney, who broke their career scoring record earlier this year, was unable to play in the last 7 games, and Tioga really just struggled down the stretch after a really good start to the season.
Yeah.
The last two notes, which aren't postseason related, they're kind of postseason related, but I don't believe I updated it because I don't think we got the news till Thursday last week. Northeast Bradford volleyball wins the small school title. And then on Tuesday of this week, Troy volleyball wins the large school title.
All right.
So NTL champions. And that volleyball bracket, I want to say, is going to come out probably sometime after you get listening to this on Friday or Saturday, because they originally were supposed to start the volleyball postseason on Saturday, and I heard something about it getting rescheduled. But volleyball last day of play was Thursday night. So the schedule comes out after
plenty
that.
Plenty of reasons to get out and watch your local sports with the playoffs looming and it being rivalry week. Plenty of reasons to get a copy of both the Daily Review and the Morning Times for preview coverage and game coverage. Logan and David have done a great job all year, and they got you covered through all the postseason. So get your copies of those. And if you haven't subscribed, please do. Let's talk about the Jolly Farmer one more time, and then we'll get through some national stuff and get everybody on with their weekend.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, you think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and even grocery items. They even have lottery tickets and that pick-me-up cup of coffee. They have it all for you there at the Jolly Farmer. That's 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week.
The World Series starts tonight. There are plenty of storylines. Yankees, Dodgers, East versus West, Judge versus Ohtani, number one seed versus number one seed.
Will Kirk be fun to work with in, over the next week or so?
I feel good. I'm excited. I feel confident. I think it's good for baseball. Two big brands, two legacies.
Isn't this by the numbers the most common?
The most common World Series matchup, but hasn't been played since 1981. Yeah. Let's get into very quickly our winner, how many games it'll take, and your MVP. I will start with my MVP. No, let's start with games. We'll do a little tease. How many games will it take? I am going to say 5. David, how many games will it take?
That's a very confident thing for me. I didn't say who's winning. I know, but I just have a feeling. We're not saying the team right now?
No, just how many games?
6.
Logan?
I will say 7.
My MVP.
Going backwards.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Okay, all right. That needs to solidify his Hall of Fame case right there.
Yep.
Mookie Betts.
Logan.
Gleyber Torres.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. It's going to be
right before he's traded.
It's going to be Mr. Ohtani.
Okay. And the winner in 5 games is the New York Yankees.
And Logan and I have the Dodgers winning then.
Then you guys, I assume, have the Dodgers giving your MVP.
I have the Dodgers win. I guess I have the Dodgers winning. I'm sorry to jump you in the order here, David, but I have the Dodgers winning game 7. Shohei Ohtani gets the save and hits after he hits the go-ahead home run in the inning.
And the movie comes out 3 years later.
There's no shot he's pitching in this
World Series. The movie comes out 3 years later and he strikes out Judge to do it.
That's what I think is going to happen.
All right. Nice script, Hollywood.
Taylor Swift will have been in the building for that game for whatever reason, too.
I think it's too good a storylines, too good a matchup. All the cinema you can think of that it ends differently than you'd expect
more
given all that.
Than you think.
I think it's 5 games, and if I'm a Yankees fan, I got to hope it's the Yankees. But I think this won't quite be the 7-game back-and-forth moments.
I kind of agree with you with that point. I'm really excited for this World Series. I don't like either team. Yeah. I'd rather neither team win the World Series, but there are a lot of people on social media who hate this.
I meant to wear my Dodgers hat. I just remembered.
There's a lot of people on social media saying, this is the worst World Series ever. I'm like, guys, you don't get this kind of matchup all the time. It's cool.
There's no way any of them wanted to see the Tigers versus the Mets. That's just baloney.
Wasn't it Rangers Diamondbacks?
Yeah. This is so much better. And I get it. It's not like this is a little different, but like when the NBA have Warriors Cavaliers every year, that's not big market versus big market. But it's people got tired of that, rightfully so. But this is the first time this has happened.
But it
in
goes
40
to
years.
Show you the popularity of those teams. You either love them or you love to hate them. That's what this is about.
I think for a person who and I think myself would fall into this category, a person who enjoys baseball but isn't like a diehard baseball fan. This would be a series for you to watch to really get into baseball. And like you said, it probably won't go the way it should go, but
the
optics of it look like it should be some pretty fun to watch, highlight-worthy baseball. So,
yeah. I mean, it's so cool that Shohei Ohtani has made it this far.
And I mean, just the idea of Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman versus Judge, Soto, and Stanton.
Yeah.
It's stars everywhere.
This is going to show how green I am when it comes to baseball. What's up with Kershaw these days?
He's out.
He's hurt.
Yep. So is Glass now.
But he still plays for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So is Glass now.
Even without him, even if he was healthy, he's not who he used to be.
Yeah. No Kershaw pitching. No Glass now pitching. Obviously, Ohtani is just hitting these days, and this has been this whole season
until the bottom of the ninth.
Which is my hope is the Yankees can just get after that pitching staff. The NBA has started this week. All of our teams have since played, but what we're going to do, we don't need the stopwatch. We're going to do a collective Philly minute here and talk about the Joel Embiid situation.
Wow, that's really just...
It's too early. It's too early. There's not enough news to really come out to get crazy about, but the one thing for our listeners in the state of Pennsylvania who might be Sixers fans, it is the topic of conversation right now. Fair or foul to blame Embiid for the way this week is starting?
I think it's generally foul.
Okay.
It's annoying. Don't get me wrong. I think it wouldn't have been that big of a deal
if Paul David, George was playing. Since you're more plugged in,
yeah.
For those that don't know that are listening, give us the background of Joel Embiid did not play opening night, and will not play the next two games.
Yeah.
I have it here. I just pulled it up so that I could give it. Educated take.
Here's
what the
give me the breakdown.
Here's what the ESPN story has in it. Embiid didn't play in the preseason for what the team called left knee injury management, and he didn't play in Wednesday's season opening 124-109 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. He will miss two more games this week, Friday against the Toronto Raptors and Sunday against the Indiana Pacers. It says, and immediately after that, it says it's typical for the NBA to review a team anytime a superstar player misses a nationally televised game as per the player participation policy. The 76ers said Embiid is responding well to his individualized plan and will ramp up his return to play activities this week, including going through scrimmages. So they came out before this was announced and said that Embiid wasn't going to play in back-to-backs this year, which I think most people look at it and they're like, okay,
fine. I'm for, by the way.
Whatever. Yep. That's fine. It's a lot on a body to play two basketball games in two nights. It is what it is. How do you ramp him up for the season without the season opener in mind?
But also make the statement that he's not hurt.
I don't know that he is or that he isn't. That's my problem with the whole situation is no one knows what his situation is. I don't think I would have been as annoyed myself. And I know there are more people outside of Philadelphia who think this is ridiculous, more so than Philadelphia fans maybe. But if Paul George was playing in the opener, I think people wouldn't have reacted to the Embiid thing so viciously.
But kind of on the other side of that coin is you knew George wasn't going to play because George got hurt. No. Embiid probably should be out there.
Yeah.
You would think.
Well, now it's come out that they will be investigated for player participation clause in the bargaining agreement or whatever.
That was added to try to combat.
I don't want to sit here and say that I'm defending Embiid and the organization full throat. I don't know that I'm really happy with the situation, but my thought process is I don't really care. As long as he's playing in April and May and June.
And that's what I was going to pose to is that's the, I understand the thought process, right? We're not going to make sure that he's out there for all 82 in the regular season because we want him to be out there for potentially all 21 or 28 that we would play in the postseason. What if that doesn't work anyway?
Well, then he just took a season away from the fans.
The funny thing is too, is that his injuries in the postseason aren't necessarily correlated to wear and tear in the regular season. It's not always been that way. So I have such mixed feelings about what's going on because I get it, but also
well, then what happens when you don't play back to backs all season and it comes to playoff times and the excuse gets built in? Well, he's playing back because he's not used to playing back to backs.
Well,
that goes away now.
Well, no, there are literal back to backs in the NBA in the regular season, Monday and Tuesday. In the postseason, you don't have that.
Right.
Typically, you get at least a day.
The day in between.
But and it's Embiid. It's always going to be an interesting topic just because of his history.
Yeah, no, it's...
You guys keep going. I got to step out real quick.
Yep.
But I was going to say, the Olympics thing, when Embiid went to play for Team USA in the Olympics, I was apprehensive about that from the start. We know his injury history. We know one wrong fall, he's going to be screwed for a whole year.
Sure.
I was so relieved that he made it through the entire Olympics. He had one really impactful game. Cool, we're good. And now we're here, back to this same thing. Come on, man.
So all three of our teams have got some action already. The Knicks fell to the Celtics in what became a record-tying or setting night. I don't know. The Celtics ended up hitting 29 threes, something along those lines, and blew out the Knicks. I still think the Knicks are fine, but it goes to show the Celtics certainly aren't going anywhere or taking any steps back. They might win 78 games this year.
It sucks.
Very good. Very, very good. The Knicks play tonight against the Pacers, I think, on ESPN. I don't know. And then Logan's Lakers did get the job done. They were the late night game against the Timberwolves, the new look Timberwolves, who swapped players with my Knicks.
Yeah.
Bronny and LeBron got on the court at the same time, which was a really cool moment.
I thought that was really cool.
And I'm glad they did it. Yeah, I'm glad they didn't night one. Get it out of the way. If you want to complain about it or whatever, there, it's done. It's over with. You saw it. Deal with it.
And they won.
I personally thought it was pretty cool for the fact that happens in today's game and what's wrong with it. And it's a game one of the season.
Yeah, and I thought it was really cool. I didn't realize that it happened because I wasn't watching the game until I saw a Twitter video of them mic'd up on the bench where LeBron is telling Bronny, like, hey, just it's intense. Just, you know, do what you do. Yep. Whatever you said, I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah. The Sixers, similar fate to the Knicks. They got beat up pretty good by the Bucks.
Yeah.
The Bucks, I'm interested to see what Dame Lillard year two looks like. He said he expects it to look a lot better. He's in much better shape.
So I only really watched the first quarter of the Sixers game, and they were talking about how, I think it was Doris Burke was saying how, like, last year was year two of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving with the Mavericks, and that turned out to be really good.
Yeah.
She was kind of alluding to the point, like, maybe Giannis and Dame are going to take that year two step, and they're going to mold into something.
Some quote came out of it. I won't try to get the quote exactly, but they basically talked about Dame came out and said he didn't take the same preparation and approach to year one because he was afraid he'd get hurt, and he didn't want to get hurt in year one with a new team, and it ended up affecting his play negatively. This year, same process he went through all those years, that he will be a future all-time shooter, all-time scorer, and he looked the part in opening night.
Yeah.
That's really it for the NBA and baseball. Let's get into some NFL stuff. Our locks, we're doing okay, David. You and I, undefeated. Yeah. Logan improved himself to 2-1. Trying to think of what really stood out to me last week. Oh, the podcast is happy. Bills win, Eagles win, Ravens win.
Yeah, hey.
So a rare week. So,
this is the first time in a while where I left an Eagles game thinking, hey, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I wasn't upset about anything.
Some news and notes. Deshaun Watson, out.
Yeah.
Jameis going to get the start.
Where are we going? What direction are we going?
Jameis is back. Do the Browns become, we're not going to talk about Deshaun Watson's injury. We're certainly never going to wish that upon anyone. We're not going to make fun of it or chalk it in light of it. I'm talking about the Browns going forward this season with a new starting quarterback and a fan base that has not been happy the way the season has gone so far. Can the Browns get back in this race at all, or is this season a wash?
This year has to be over. I love watching Jameis Winston play. He might make them halfway respectable, but I don't even know what the record is. It's like,
yeah, they're in trouble.
It's not, I don't know.
And then the Bengals, your Eagles will get this week. Yeah. Feeling confident where Philadelphia's heading right now as we're kind of getting near the halfway point?
If the Eagles win on Sunday, then I think I'm kind of back into believing that this team can be something. I don't know if it'd be the Super Bowl, but like just being a legitimate playoff team.
Yeah.
Okay,
he's
Logan.
He's calling Super Bowl.
I did not say
he's
that.
He's talking himself into it. I've gotten him there.
That's not at all. I'm just saying if the Eagles beat the Bengals this week, that will be a 3-game win streak. It'll be the first time they've won 3 in a row since the middle of last season. It'll just feel like things are okay in Philadelphia after what's been a weird, weird start to the year where they're still winning most games, but it's been like frustrating. But if they can beat Cincinnati, it might just, not that Cincinnati's like this world beater, but it'd be nice to see a 3-game win streak and feel okay.
He's thinking soupy?
No!
He's getting close. I got him close.
Sorry, I had to jump out on a call. We're taping at an abnormal time. It's been a little wonky. I think you guys would agree on the podcast in itself. Where did we end up on a good turn?
I'll tell you where we ended up. We ended up on the Browns. Somehow, some way, we got to the Browns.
I'm sorry.
Your take, Lakers take, real quick, from you.
Yeah, about the Bronny.
Bronny LeBron. Yeah. Cool moment.
It was cool to see. It was definitely cool to see. He didn't have any points. I think he had a rebound. I didn't watch. I was working that night, so I didn't turn it on.
Celtics still the favorite?
It sounds like they're going to shoot a million threes this year. Yeah, I think they're still the favorite because they have a bunch of guys that can do that, play defense and shoot threes.
And Dame Lillard, Giannis combo better in year two?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
All right, so
that
now,
was good NBA.
That's where
Wait,
we jumped
down.
We jumped
Bronny,
in.
Bronny LeBron was cool. Even cooler for me because their jersey numbers are my literal birthday.
Love it. We got into NFL. The reason we got on Browns talk is We tried to talk about some news and notes. Who's in? Who's out? Deshaun out. Jameis in. Can the Browns salvage this season?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah. Staying in the North, we talked about the Bengals. They get David's Eagles, and that's where we just got to with David is all in on maybe the Super Bowl.
Super!
The Steelers.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Russ cooked.
Okay, hold on a second. I walked back in here and I heard the word Super Bowl. How are we putting those in your mouth?
I said the words, I don't think Super Bowl, but...
Let me catch up to speed.
I think getting to that 2022 Super Bowl was the worst reality for the Eagles.
Catch up to speed. David said Jalen Hurts back in MVP form. AJ Brown is the gift that keeps on giving. And Sirianni back in Eagles fans' good graces.
Yeah.
We're marching forward.
That sounds about right.
We're talking about the cool mic'd up thing between Bronny and LeBron.
Yep.
Before that, the one actually like cool thing to say about Sirianni, I don't know if you saw him talking on the bench with Saquon at the end of the...
I did, about Saquon had a chance to break
his career record.
Career record and said, no, let the young guys get some
reps. It was a really cool interaction. That's all I wanted to say.
Steelers, let Russ cook.
I kind of have to eat my words a little bit. But they were playing the most dysfunctional team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Or at least if they're not one, they're two in terms of dysfunction. So we'll see.
Russ earned himself another week. We'll see how it goes. And then capping off the AFC North, Ravens take care of business against the Bucks. Lamar, front runner for MVP?
I'm thinking Soupy.
Oh, so, everybody's on the Super Bowl watch.
No, I think he is. I think he's the front runner for MVP. It sounds kind of weird to say because Derrick Henry's been so good too.
It's working, right?
But it's working like a charm. And I think Derrick Henry leads the NFL in rush yards. I think he's first in yards per carry and Lamar's second in yards per carry. I don't know that Lamar's second in rush yards, but
yeah,
it's been a joy to watch. And they had another one of those weird endings Monday night where the Bucks kind of crept back into it. There's been two onside kicks recovered in the NFL this year, both against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Are you having more fun right now at this point in the season or last season at this point?
I feel like I've been able to watch more this season. And I don't know. I went to a couple of games last year. Down the stretch, I felt like I watched more Ravens football. But there was a couple of weeks, like the week they beat the Lions last year, I was driving back up on a Sunday. So I just listened to the game on my phone. The game they beat the Seahawks, it was like 37-3 or something like that. I was driving Dave Post out to pick up his car. It was in Binghamton somewhere after he had a reason to leave it out there. But I think this season's been fun to watch because it feels like the flair's there with this team, where it was there last year, but like if you pay attention, and you guys don't obviously watch all the Ravens games, but Lamar's got the diamond-encrusted grill. He's got the hair kind of coming out the back of his jersey. Derrick Henry's got a butterfly chain. He's got the one eye black. He's running for 80 yards. He has made the Ravens this year exponentially more fun to watch because he doesn't look like he should have that home run speed, and then he just does it once a game, it feels like. So
the AFC East, the Patriots, who cares? The Dolphins, Tua might be back this week. It's something to keep an eye on, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. We'll see what that means and what the Dolphins look like. The Jets fired their coach, got Devontae Adams, didn't matter, got blown out by the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers, if you haven't watched a lot of his career, might as well tune in now because this might be the last hurrah. That team stinks. And he kind of stinks. Yeah. He does. But who doesn't stink? Josh Allen. No picks for the guy ESPN calls the walking turnover. 12 touchdowns, no interceptions. I should have
came up with that one. That's a good nickname. Who came up with that?
What?
The walking turnover. That's a
ESPN
good one.
ESPN probably did.
That's a good one.
I made up that they came up with it, but now I'm going to just stick with the fact that they did. It's bulletin board material, right? 5-2, the Dolphins. No, the Bills. 5-2 Bills. I'm all over the place. Josh Allen.
The AFC East, which was supposed to be the division to watch this
year. No, it's just the Bills, right?
Yep.
Just the Bills. Dominated the Titans. Got off to a rocky start, but took care of business 34-10, and the Bills are cruising now with number one receiver, Amari Cooper. Got some action. Yeah, got a touchdown. Yeah. Looked good. I'm hoping that connection carries on. Locks. David and Kirk, 3-0. Logan, 2-1. We're all right there.
We've only done 2 weeks of picks.
No, we've done three.
We actually had this conversation the other day. I was like, how many have we done?
You started 1-1.
Oh, because I picked the Bengals. You're right.
My lock, Lions at home over Titans. If there's anybody in the NFL that's worse than the Panthers, I saw them against the Bills this past weekend. That's Tennessee. They got to go to Detroit, which is tough enough in and of itself, whether the Lions are good or not. They turn out to be very good this year. They'll dominate the Titans. The Lions are my lock.
Yeah, the Panthers are playing the Broncos. I'll pick the Broncos.
Easy. Lock.
We should maybe just ban the Titans and Panthers from this segment.
Easy lock. But someone's going to do it one week, and, yeah, and the Panthers are going to win. Is that you this week, Logan? You want Panthers over Broncos?
No. Oh, okay. I tried that in Survivor, didn't I?
Who's your lock?
I'm looking at the board, and there is a lot of games I would like to pick. I will go with... let's go with Chiefs over Raiders. Coming off a bye week, getting DeAndre Hopkins. I think they'll win it. The other games I looked at... If
who's who's Johnny Williams Cowboys got...
49ers on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, the Niners got nobody left. Debo's got pneumonia. Ayuk tore something.
Trust me, I know. He was on the fantasy.
McCaffrey's not back. I mean, it's the Purdy Kittle show until further notice.
Can I pose one, and we'll get out of here on this.
And like if Johnny was here right now, he'd say, well, now we're going to see if Purdy's a real quarterback or not.
I pose one last question. Why have we reached the point in the season where the Steelers are on national games every week?
The brand.
They've had two Sunday Night Football games in 3 weeks, and they're playing on Monday night this week. It's just the
Steeler brand.
And it is the ugliest brand of football. Maybe with Russ. I didn't watch a whole lot of the Jets game, but
it's fun to watch.
The Steelers defense is fun to watch. If you're going to say a defense is fun to watch, it's the Steelers.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. But yeah, that's all I have. Sorry, I had to step out in the middle. Got a very important phone call.
We carried it. Like we do every week.
Talking about the Eagles Super Bowl. One more time. Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, even lottery tickets and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week.
Yeah, hey, it's late. We're tired. This one got off the rails, but thank you as always for always sticking with us and get out there, support the community, support local sports. It's wrapping up here for the fall. A lot of good postseason action to come though. So get out and check it out and please continue to support the Morning Times and the Daily Review by subscribing if you haven't or getting a copy wherever you can find it. Logan and David will have you covered the rest of the way and we'll see you next week.